The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to critical thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue on in the analysis this morning of Colossians chapter 2. We are in verses 2 and 3. Pick up around page 7 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. Only in this capacity can we truly understand and embrace the truth of Bible doctrine in its intended form. God, the Holy Spirit, is the ultimate author of Scripture. Hence, we need His assistance, His power, His guidance to lead us in direction to all truth, and He does this through His filling ministry. If you're not filled with God, the Holy Spirit, the only alternative otherwise is that you're under your sin nature. You're in a state of carnality. We get into that state. Obviously, rebound is our prescription to escape it and revive our spirituality through the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, in our prayer of confession before God, in which He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So with that in mind, we'll give you an opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start from a normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for the revelation of it. We ask that you continue to bless us as we seek to know and understand you and your plan at the deepest capacity and fullest capacity that you will so endow us. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will once again this morning enlighten us the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 here, as Paul is seeking to provide a more personal bond with these believers whom he's never met. In this vein, he, here in verses 2 and 3, gives him a threefold effect or purpose for why, as he so stated in verse 1, he fights with all due diligence and labor, etc., all that's necessary in terms of the proclaiming and dissemination of the truth of Bible doctrine, in seeking to maintain the integrity of the veracity of God's Word in its purest of forms as the standard for the local church, and this on behalf of positive volition that resides there and elsewhere in the world. And in that vein, verses 2 and 3, truly you miss the very depth and very focus in regards to these verses if you don't gap the information that truly the struggle that he's dealing with in verse 1 is addressing all the contesters and others who may seek to distort the truth of doctrine with respect to the witness of the life and the witness of the local church and believers otherwise in this vein. And the threefold purpose here is lined out for us. Verse 2, rereading here, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. The encouragement in view here points to what they are in the very depth of their soul and in the depth of their thinking at the present. And the encouragement finds its place in the camaraderie of the like-mindedness of believers that are brought together by means of divine love, as that love so points to. And secondly, in attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, and then ultimately resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the encouragement again in view here, it begins as we have dealt with face-to-face teaching individually. Bible class and the divine power of Bible doctrine and God the Holy Spirit is able to multitask in a way that's beyond our imagination. He is able to address every individual need of every person that may be part of the local church, as well as compressing all that together in a corporate form that relates to the witness overall with respect to the church. And the encouragement that Positivism receives first begins on an individual basis as the communicator of doctrine teaches individually in that vein. And those who embrace the doctrine under positive volition and seek to apply it in regard to our life are glued together, bonded together, building corporate camaraderie as a unit in this vein, with all being like-minded, filling the Holy Spirit and the application of doctrine. So where like-mindedness exists, encouragement reigns with the full complement of reassurance found at a corporate level serving the body. Just pick up point 24, page 7. These are those believers on the road to making the rebound and maturity adjustment and enjoying the company of others doing the same. The obviously preferred application of the local church is that all recognize having the same goal in terms of being prize contenders being the ultimate goal. And in that vein, recognizing we're all in the boat together as we seek to fulfill God's plan for our life. And therefore, there's no room really for competition among us in terms of our personal affairs and things of that nature. The true competition comes only when we are faced with those who dissent in regard to doctrine. And these types, negative to doctrine, reversionists, seek to take issue and try to influence us, separating us from the purity and the veracity of doctrine as otherwise taught in the Scriptures. And those who are engaged in the rebound and maturity adjustment, obviously, we're all at different levels spiritually, are seeking to reprogram their minds with the mind of Christ and to attain at the highest level possible of understanding and application in regard to our lives, and hence there is truly a unity, a brotherhood, as the Scripture says, even though we recognize the female gender. In terms of the local church, and when that is operating correctly, then, obviously, the church finds itself overall, corporately, in a position where harmony and accord exist among one another. So 25, on the other hand, where disagreement and dissent exist, conflict ensues, and the bond, the corporate bond, as well as it might be individually in regards to relationships, are weakened or broken. And any potential encouragement and fellowship in that vein is diminished, as we read Romans 16, 17. For those who do dissent in regards to doctrine, and they obviously try to lever their Human Viewpoint SCA position in influence towards others, we as believers are to be on top of our game spiritually, being aware of these things. And for those who promote such an agenda, we are to keep an arm's length and distance from them. Anybody that can dismiss the doctrine of separation among believers in light of this verse of Romans 16 are about as blind as you're going to find spiritually in terms of that doctrine. He makes it very clear. He's dealing with the assembly in Romans. He's dealing with those among themselves. The very principle of seeking God is to seek the veracity of God, because that's what He is. He is absolute truth. And that's the only way that one comes to recognition and appreciation and understanding in regard to God and His plan. So these types, Romans doesn't say embrace them, it doesn't say befriend them, emote over them, all that other modeling lukewarmness that saturates the church corporately today. It says stay away, stay aloof. Obviously, it's not a corporate separation. Everyone's free to come to Bible class as long as they maintain their decorum, and not engage in any gross reversionism or sin otherwise. But these are not the ones that you necessarily want to chum around with, because in spite of arrogance that may exist among Christians, the principle is the bad influences negatively the good. So 26, this moves on now to the second effect. That's verse 2a, verse 2b. The second effect of not catering to less than sound Bible doctrine is then maximizing the blessings of wealth in eternity that comes from the full assurance of understanding, as the clause so proclaims. That comes from the full assurance of understanding. So obviously, the truth, once again, is perception is the issue in Paul's thinking and writing. So 27, now the second effect obviously finds as support the encouragement of heart, realizing the goal of all concern. It builds upon the first effect. The second effect does. And the third on both of those. So 28, corporate solidarity builds a body of Christ having the increased power of positivism together in support for one another. Compare James 5:16. Here, in terms of the relationship, the friendship among us, obviously, we all have an STA. We stumble in many ways, as James so declares. And in terms of encouraging one another, as we not only do battle with the affront of the cosmos and those negative doctrine around us, but our own inward battle in regards to the STA. James says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. He's not saying you run around and tell everybody your little STI activities you constantly get engaged in. But obviously those areas of life of someone that you are comfortable with, that you would regard to provide sound counsel. You don't run to someone with an STA like yours that's engaged in the same sin and expect to be encouraged to overcome your problem. That's someone whom you trust and recognize has sound counsel in regards to issues. And to bring this forth, and obviously prayer is an integral part, a necessary part in regards to a sound Christian life. And to bring that out so prayers can be shot up on behalf of one another in terms of those tests and things in life that we face that under the SCA can drag you down if not addressed and corrected. And let them pray over him, or verse 15, 16, so that you may be healed here in the prayer of faith. In this section, in this context, this is one for a person that may have gotten involved in some type of reversionistic activity and may be facing sin unto death or is facing sin unto death to be extended life so they can continue on their course. But in that context there, but one another opens up the context to, in general, we can approach one another in such fashion. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. One righteous man is one who's filled with the Holy Spirit and has doctrine at the forefront of their thinking in regards to how they address any given circumstance or situation. So to pray for one another, obviously Paul here, by implication, is soliciting the prayers of the Colossians on his behalf as he prays for them on their behalf. So 29, the wealth here, which is plutos in the Greek, P-L-O-U-T-O-S, harks back now to the riches of glory that is found in the mystery doctrine of the church age, as was mentioned in chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's doctrine in you, the hope of glory. So another reference to riches here under the term plutos, wealth. That notes the accumulation of a treasure in that regards. So 30, this looks to maximizing the believer's inheritance that finds its pinnacle only by adhering to the sound doctrine in application. Divine good production only comes when we're in fellowship and when we're applying Bible doctrine. If you're out of step one way or the other, it's nothing more than human good, whatever it may be, if not just sin and evil sin. So, the sounder the doctrine, the more accurate your applications make possible. And obviously at a higher level, one can apply doctrine, and the accumulation of SG3 obviously increases accordingly. Ephesians 1:18. Paul here to the church at Ephesus, I pray that the eyes of your heart, prayer being the intention here, having been enlightened, that's being given the truth of Bible doctrine in a pure form, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, to have all the avenues and access to all the SG3 possible,
in regards to our lives. What are the riches of the glory of this inheritance in the saints? SG3, something that we cannot describe because the Bible says we can't. And SG3 is the subject of chapter 2, verse 7, in relationship to our resurrection, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, while surpassing beyond resurrection and a life in heaven. Well, that's the SG3, surpassing grace, phase 3, the inheritance, the wealth, the rewards that belongs to Christ. He brings with him when he returns, as it so states in Revelation, and will distribute accordingly at the Bema seat, the reward ceremony for church age believers. 3:8, to me, the very least of all saints, Paul regards himself in his humble estate. This grace was given so that he could overcome the STA through his positive volition and serve God appropriately in his ministry to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable is almost an understatement. Our special dispensation of grace unites us in a union of royalty with Jesus Christ as his bride. Let that sink in. A king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we are equated with union with him under these terms of his position of royalty. So indeed, unfathomable riches to share in all that is his accordingly. So Hebrews 11:26. Moses here is an example who was positioned to assume the most powerful position of the world at that point in time, a world ruler, a world leader under Egypt. He was groomed for that. He was prepared for that. And he gave it up for what? Spent 40 years with a bunch of malcontents out there in the desert. Obviously, there was positive volition to go with it. Their children, those younger than 20, the conquest generation. No, he did it because he recognized that God has more for mankind than what we find in this temporal life niche. And that is eternal riches, eternal life. And that's verse 24 there. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, became great. He was at the age where he would have adjoined himself in terms of the dynasty. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, whom she adopted, as we know, through his deliverance as an infant. 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God . Well, that's kind of ironic. Ill treatment with the people of God. That's what he put up with for 40 years. Those under his charge allotted to him being malcontents, complainers, whiners, phase 2 negative, and all the headaches that came with that in regard to his ministry. So, ill treatment from the people of God. Well, it sounds like to me that people of God can get under their STAs and be idiots just like unbelievers can. And indeed they do. Than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I could have got this back in Egypt. I could have missed all this. Taken the easy road out. Kicked back and enjoyed life. You know. had his sailing yachts and all this other stuff down the Nile or whatever. And why? Verse 26, for our intents and purposes, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasure of the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking to the reward. That's SG3. SG3 will be bestowed upon him for his fidelity in regards to serving God and the plan of God in his life. So, the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding. He had to come to an epinosis. The doctrine set before him and revealed to him in fulfilling the prophecy of the Jews being delivered from their slavery as proclaimed by his forefather Abraham. This means holding fast to the faith, quote, firmly established through the sound teaching of the pulpit. Firmly established. As, again, this epistle, where some epistles may chastise, at least built into it, a failure in communication of doctrine and others in terms of their maladjustment to doctrine. This epistle is designed to validate the teaching of their under-shepherd Epaphras. And throughout it, Paul refers to him in such capacity as encouragement to them, just as you learned it from Epaphras, see, verse 7. Didn't have to be an apostle to have the truth and teach the truth. What you had to be was poly to doctrine, assimilate that information, and be willing to disseminate it accordingly and appropriately as the good deposit, but otherwise be bestowed upon them. And then verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established. See, that's your caveat in regards to your phase two, it being found completely blameless, both positionally and experientially, at the Bema Seat, verse 22. And steadfast, not moving, unmovable. You're set in concrete, set in cement in regards to doctrine. And no matter what may be thrown your way to upset you or to get you to try to adopt another viewpoint in regards to sound doctrine, the positive adjusted believer who is firmly established will stand their ground. Today, what society is bombarded with is the whole ideology of catering to every damn thing that anybody wants to believe, no matter how evil it may even be in that regards, to cater to it. See, I didn't see Jesus catering to the malcontents in his ministry, including his own disciples. They wanted to throw a human viewpoint at him. He threw a divine viewpoint right back. With authority, I guarantee you that. So, this obviously pictures the purpose of the ministry and communication of the doctrine to disseminate that truth in its purest of forms, so that those who are positive and want to know the truth can find themselves firmly established in the truth, and in so doing maximize their SG3 package, and hopefully hold to the end and be contenders for the wreath or the prize. 32, those that advocate a different doctrine are spiritual predators and pretenders that are rivals to the prize. They're rivals to the prize. Colossians 2:18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. That is being able to claim the conquest of the wreath, the highest form of accolade and reward that we as believers can attain to in regards to our phase three. And defrauding looks at using the aspects of deceit in terms of trying to convince someone of something that will otherwise take them away from their NPR, the very divine design that God has obviously placed for them with their right shepherd, their right local church, God's geographical will for them, to abandon that at whatever level. By delighting, this is what they do, in self-abasement. They'll try to look humble, like they really care. Oh, really? You really care? In the worship of angels, they'll have their own form of religiosity that they'll try to interject in regards to trying to deceive the individual. Like, this is the doctrine, when the doctrine doesn't support that. Bible doctrine doesn't. Taking his stand on things he has seen, that is the creation via the energy of the flesh, and the STA of making their world the way they want it to be. See, their little fantasy land out there. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Second John 8 through 11. Watch yourselves. The burden of defense falls on our shoulders. You can blame the people out there in the world all you want in regards to whatever solicitations they may have with human viewpoint, but the burden of responsibility falls on the shoulders of believers who have been taught the truth and know better, but yet they fail because often they reject the truth. So the responsibility is there for those who know the truth. This is the very aspect of culpability. But people that reject it, they're not going to be on guard because they have another agenda that they're following. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we have accomplished. To be able to, if you have to, do memorials like what we just went through the last couple of times. Be able to do that with everyone. That's the great thing. That's as bittersweet as it may be. You know, that's a high point. But that's what we've accomplished. See, for people to be able to hang on and hold to the end and be prize contenders. But that you may receive a full reward, see. That you may receive a full reward. Someone with a proven track record, what, and you're going to offer someone that you don't know crap about? Anyone goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. See, those who don't hold to the rigors of the doctrinal mandates and the royal imperatives that we adhere to. They're the ones that have gone on too far. They've added their own ideas and traditions and concepts, and their own energy of the flesh interpretations of Scripture and things of that nature. Does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If it's not from the mind of Christ, then it's bogus. You leave it alone, see, in terms of doctrine. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, they're outside the circles. We did this epistle. You know this, if you were here. They're outside circles. Now, you don't embrace these people. I don't care who they are. Do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. Well, that seems kind of rude. Well, take it up with John. I didn't write it. For the one who gives him a greeting participates. You become an accomplice because you're catering, see, in his evil deeds, in his evil works. And obviously, that finds its biggest impact in regards to, as it might pertain to a church in and of itself, but by application, obviously, all of us are to always be on guard to not let that type of influence and interference raise its ugly head in our lives. These people are nothing more than spiritual predators. They really could care less whether you're a wreath winner or not. All they want to do is satiate their own little STAs, which is impossible. You cannot satiate the STA. They'll always find another way, another avenue to express itself. 33, the source for perseverance and focus for every prize contender comes from building their confidence, sharing like-minded understanding with others in sound doctrine. To persevere, to maintain our vision of doctrine, perception, and focus of holding to the end. Must be supported with the building up and edification of our confidence in regard to doctrine. And to be able to have rapport with one another on a doctrinal level. And believers, you can sit around and you can say almost anything, but you're secure in your thinking that you know that they are filling that with doctrine in their souls. So you can make a joke and they capture it with doctrine and they see the humor in it or whatever, see. Versus people, you have to walk on eggshells because you don't know what they're rejecting, see. What's going to set them off. We do so and we converse and communicate with one another on such a level, supports us and it encourages us that yeah, we're thinking on the right plane here. And it's not an avenue or a venue to become self-righteous over anything. People can accuse you of almost anything they want anymore. But it's a matter of your conviction. It's a matter of your will, your desire to hold to the truth no matter what. And again, obviously, we have all different kinds of categories and levels of people and the truth that they adhere to or not. This ministry, I'm thoroughly convinced, is set forth to find it at its highest level that God will endow us with in the time that we have.
So to persevere, to hang in there. Thirty-four, the noun full assurance here, in quotes, the Greek ho play, rophoria, P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-I-A, play rophoria, looks to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in gap under the grace after as procession, that is being in fellowship, satiating positive volition, satisfying it, and their desire to know and understand the truth. That's what drives positive volition, to know and understand the truth of doctrine. First Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Why? We insist to check yourself and get in fellowship before Bible class. Then obviously you got to stay in fellowship. The truth smacks you upside the head. You get out of fellowship, you didn't get back in fellowship. See? So you can continue to gap things. In the power, also in the power in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. See, full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. So 35 is an expression of positive volition and faith towards Bible doctrine. Full assurance is an expression of positive volition and faith towards Bible doctrine. Fully convicted. Fully convinced. Hebrews 6:11. The author of Hebrews, and we desire that to the Jews in Jerusalem, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. That full assurance of hope comes through the conviction and convincing of Bible doctrine in one's life. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near in prayer here with a sincere heart, that's one that's intellectually honest, in full assurance of faith, being fully convinced in the truth of doctrine. Condition that James says you need to be in regard to your prayers, or else you'll find yourself on the opposite end of that prayer being recognized or acknowledged by God. To not vacillate, see, in regards to doctrine. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience that's rebound, and our bodies washed with pure water. Our body is functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit and the human spirit, cleansed with the truth of doctrine via rebound. So again, the full assurance of faith. Being convinced and willed. 36, it is a believer grounded to the teaching, remaining stable in understanding and application, not vacillating otherwise. Ephesians 4:14. The very purpose of the under-shepherd in their role, to building up the body of Christ to become a complete man, as Paul said to Colossians, and here also in Ephesians in verse 13, at the stature, the level which belongs to the fullness of Christ, that means to maintain the highest a part of accountability and acquisition
in regards to all that Christ represents in terms of SG3, etc., and in terms of knowledge. In verse 14, as a result, for those who will hold in there and do this right, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, that's by every viewpoint that comes along that does not follow truly the sound doctrine otherwise being taught. The human viewpoint, all the many different facets of human viewpoint. Anything that you can find in contradiction or distortion in regards to the doctrine, there's that many different alternative viewpoints out there in the world. And we're not to be tossed here and there by these things, like the power of the ocean in a tsunami, watching huge ships being slung over walls like they're some kid's toy boat. By the trickery of men, here we have a gambling metaphor that comes in to the negative world. Really, life is really nothing more than a crapshoot. Get the best out of it you can. Hopefully, what's after this is not too bad or whatever. By craftiness, with regard to the scheming of deceit, literally, and deceitful scheming. The speaking the truth in divine love. That's your countermeasure against the human viewpoint onslaught that we face. We are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ. And then James 1, 6 through 8. Here in terms of prayer, first of all, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, verse 5, who gives all men generously without reproach and will be given to him the understanding in regards to circumstances, situations. Obviously, this is in view and in light of the context that the individual is willing to accept what the will of God is. If you're fighting it, you're disagreeing with it, you're not going to be party to this prayer on a positive note. People, well, God, show me your will. And they go out there in the energy of the flesh and violate doctrine all over the place and then claim it as being His will because the avenue happens to be open to go do what they're going to do. And then make it right. Jeez. But let him ask in faith, verse 6, without any doubting. Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The vacillating ways that Paul spoke of in Ephesians. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. And the confidence, the steadfastness, perseverance of conviction comes only through the regiment of NPR in one's life, being fastidious to rebound, and applying Bible doctrine with a healthy prayer life. If those things are not in place, to that degree you're going to suffer in terms of accomplishing what James here is addressing. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Full assurance translates to confident expectation. In other words, hope. In the Greek form. In the Greek term, elpis. Confident expectation. In the believer's assurance for SG3. So full assurance translates to confident expectation. To our hope of SG3 as set forth for those who will do it right. And embrace the truth. because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. There's confident expectation that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him, as Hebrews so states. Verse 23, firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. All that salvation is intended to provide for those who avail themselves of everything that salvation has to offer. And it doesn't end at phase one. And then verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is riches of the glory of this mystery, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, SG3. So 38, it is certain conviction to the truth. Certain conviction to the truth. The noun understanding here, full assurance of, full conviction, if you will, of understanding. Definite article with the noun sunesis, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, in parentheses. The noun understanding means to bring together. It means to bring together, and explicitly now insist upon the uniting of thoughts, being like-minded and understanding. We saw it used in Colossians 1:19 as to spiritual understanding combined with wisdom as the product of Bible doctrine. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and the cohesiveness of the Bible doctrine that is part of our soul, human spirit, and thinking in regards to life. While one is intended to produce, the knowledge that we hear is intended to produce wisdom in us, not just understanding, not just having some facsimile of, oh, this is what doctrine says. But to give us wisdom, discernment, in regards to those things of life. So understanding means bring together, their wisdom with knowledge, in Colossians 1:9. 41, it recognizes synchronization and reciprocation to operate, if you will, as one, like married couples are supposed to operate as one. Not anymore, but biblically, that's what we're designed to do, according to the divine institution of marriage. We're to be one, husband and wife are to be one, to operate together in synchronization in the decisions and all that they do, obviously, with the proper chain of command in place. And then reciprocation. It recognizes synchronization, understanding does, and reciprocation among like-minded believers in their application to one another to stay the course. We're warned not to be a stumbling block to other believers. So our attitude and application towards one another should be to assist one another to hang in there with doctrine. Obviously, it's only as good as people will respond to with their own polyvolition accordingly. People are determined to make their tree bad. Well, that's just the way it's going to be. You can give them all the doctrine in the world. You can be Jesus Himself. You're not going to convince them otherwise. You can be Moses himself. You're not going to convince him otherwise. All, 5 million of them or whatever. This goofiness, this sloppiness of the lukewarm state of Christianity. It's repugnant. It's repulsive. It's syrupy. As a fundy, I used to get off on that. oh, this is nice, this is good, oh yeah, love Jesus. But the more doctrine I got, the more I look at it, it's just like Jesus, you just want to vomit out of your mouth. See? But sometimes that's just a sugar high. It's just hard for some believers to get over. 42, corporate camaraderie supports believers independently. As a unified body, doggedly determined to continue in maturity, judgment, and justice of God, desiring the prize above all else. Like the pit bull mentality. Clamp a hold and better have a gun if you want to get them loose. And that is the nature of Paul's volition, that embraces doctrine in that vein. And when we have a corporate unit where we're all seeking to do this, that corporate unit supports each individual member in that effect. 43, it is an encouragement associated with a sound ministry, recognizing that the local church is evaluated as to its corporate standing before Christ as the head. And that's Revelations chapter 2 and 3. We'll take a look at those second session.